Our scripture reading for today is Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Well, I'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing with our series in Colossians, picking up where we left off last week in the third chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 21. If you recall, this section of Colossians 3, which we're working through, is concerned with teaching us how to carry out the command of verse 17 of this chapter. It's concerned with showing us how to fulfill this command in the context of family. So what is this overarching command? By way of reminder, Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. The name of the Lord Jesus, as we've emphasized repeatedly throughout this section of Colossians 3, refers to what is true about him. So to do everything in the name of Jesus means to do everything in accordance with the truth about him. And the truth about him is summed up in one word, and that word is Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. From verse 18 to 19 of this chapter in Colossians, we were taught the will of our Lord Jesus regarding the relationship between husband and wife. That was several weeks ago. In verse 20 of this chapter, we were shown the will of our Lord regarding the relationship between children and parents, and that was last week. Now, as we move on to verse 21 of Colossians 3, which is today's text, we're shown the will of our Lord regarding fathers in relationship with their children. So fathers, this is particularly concerning you. Should I say us? Because I'm a father too. So this is what we read in verse 21 of our text. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Fathers in Christ Jesus, what is the will of our Lord regarding our relationship with our children? Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. This is the will of our Lord. This shows the heart of our Lord towards our children. And to drive the point further to us fathers, we're told something quite similar in Ephesians 6:4. It's repeated twice in Scripture. Ephesians 6:4 gives us the emphasis. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So there we see it again. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Ephesians 6:4 adds, to anger. Why does Scripture emphasize this point to Christian fathers? Well, if we think on the context of this command, the reason becomes clear. See, if you remember verse 20 of Colossians 3, a verse prior to our verse for today, what were children taught? Children were taught to obey their parents in everything. That was the theme of last week's message. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. As we were reminded last week when we went over this verse, for as long as children are being brought up by their parents and under their responsibility, parents have complete authority over their children. Short of requiring disobedience to the Lord, parents have the final say in every aspect of their children's lives. There's no area that is off limits to parental authority. And of course, as verse 18 of this chapter reminded us, husbands are the head of their wives, which makes them the head of the household as a whole. And so children, according to the will of our Lord, must look to the father as the highest authority in their family. Now, what verse 21 is concerned with, having established this truth and command, is that fathers not abuse their God-given authority over their children. So let's consider verse 20 and verse 21 together. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. That's children's responsibility to their parents, and particularly their father as the head of the household. And then, now, verse 21 of Colossians 3, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. So the concern of verse 21 is that fathers not abuse their God-given authority over their kids. Fathers abuse their authority when they domineer their children, intimidating them into anxious and fearful subservience, crushing them under their thumb. Fathers abuse their authority over their children when they exercise their authority in a harsh, foul-tempered manner. Fathers abuse their authority when they demand submission from their children while neglecting to nurture their children. When fathers abuse their authority over their children in ways like these, well, according to our text and the text in Ephesians 6, they provoke their children to anger, and they become a source of discouragement to them. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Colossians 3:21, our text for today, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Fathers, if we tend to abuse our God-given authority over our children, do not be surprised if our children tend to be angry with us. Do not be surprised if our children do not like us. Do not be surprised if our children are peeved at us for being poor fathers. Do not be surprised if our children are discouraged around us because they're afraid of our temper, of our harshness, or because they are deeply saddened due to our aloofness and lack of affection towards them. Fathers in the Lord, we have an immense impact on our children. Who else in the family has such an incredible capacity to either build up or devastate our children, to cultivate their respect or provoke their anger and crush their spirits? In fact, Scripture uses similar language for the way we should treat our wives and the way we should treat our children. Regarding the treatment of our wives, we read a couple weeks ago in Ephesians 5, 28 to 29, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. How must we treat our wives? We must nourish and cherish them as our own bodies. It's the very thing that Christ does for the church. Now, concerning the treatment of our children, we read on in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, what must we do? We must bring our children up. In the original language, the word for bring up, as you read it there in Ephesians 6, 4, is ektrepho. And it's the same word that's translated as nourish in Ephesians 5, 29, that statement about how husbands should treat their wives. So to bring up our children is to do what? Is to nourish them. As we nourish our wives, so must we nourish our children. There's a similarity of treatment between husband and wives and fathers and their children. So once again, what is the responsibility of our children towards us as fathers? It's obedience. Children, obey your parents and everything, for this pleases the Lord. But now, what's our responsibility as fathers towards our children? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up, nourish. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Our God-given responsibility is to bring them up. Fathers have no right exercising their authority over their children while ignoring their responsibility to their children. Our responsibility is to nourish them. To nourish our children involves providing for their needs at the most fundamental level. But it doesn't just end there. That's part of it. It doesn't just end there, because you know why? Because even animals provide for the needs of their children. And sadly, many fathers in the world don't even want to do that. They don't want to even rise up to the level of an animal when it comes to being a parent. They want to be a man-child. They want to rely on their wives to earn the living, pay the bills, handle the chores, rear the kids, while they spend all day playing video games, or they go pursue some hobby or interest of theirs. Single women in his congregation, don't marry a man-child. No matter what he says to you, all the flowery words, language, treatment, if you realize he's a man-child, run away. Don't marry a man-child. Other fathers think their obligation to their children ends with meeting their practical needs. putting food on a table, roof over their heads, clothes on their back, and everything else involved with rearing the children is the mother's responsibility. I put food on the table, I provide a roof over their heads, I put clothes on their backs, and just everything else I dump on the wife. They help out here and there as backup for mom. But since they're the breadwinner, they reason my wife should handle the bulk majority of raising the children. Well, that's wrong too. That's better than a man child, but that's wrong too. Because as fathers who are citizens of Christ's kingdom, we must do more than just meet the needs of our children. We must do more than just treat them as many animals in the animal kingdom treat their children. We must bring up our children, as we read in Ephesians 6, in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We must nourish them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, fathers, don't abuse your authority, because that will provoke your children's anger and discourage them. Don't abuse your authority by lording over your children and piling on them all your self-centered demands. That's not the reason why the Lord has given us our authority. Rather, use the God-given authority for the right purpose. And that purpose is for bringing up our children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So first of all, as fathers, our authority is given for the purpose of the Lord's discipline. The word for discipline in the original Greek is paideia. It's the same word that's translated as training in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training, paideia, in righteousness. That gives an idea of what this word means. This word discipline. Fathers in the Lord, our authority is given for the purpose of training our children according to what is right in the Lord's sight. That's why God has given us our authority. To train our children according to what is right in the Lord's sight. That's much more than just being a breadwinner and coming home and plopping down in front of the TV and letting mom handle all the responsibilities. Training! That's our role. See, as fathers, we don't have the power to convert our children to Christ. As we've emphasized throughout the years from this pulpit, true inward transformation and spiritual growth only occurs through the saving grace of God alone. Short of new birth and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, our children will never really love God, nor bear the fruit of Christ-like holiness. New birth, conversion, sanctification by the Spirit is the supernatural work of God, which is beyond our power as fathers to generate in our children. Our role as fathers, what we can do, is to restrain wickedness in our children. Gross wickedness, obvious wickedness, outward wickedness, and to instill in them the basic moral principles of God's word. And by so doing, we are training our children to become productive members of society, responsible members of society. As fathers, we are to train our children in the values of truthfulness, respect for persons and property, respect for parents, self-discipline, fidelity in marriage, doing good unto others, pursuing an honest living, trustworthiness, reliability, and other biblical principles which ensure that our children will grow up to become lawful, beneficial members of society. And this involves correcting and disciplining our children for immoral behavior, instructing our children in biblical values, and demonstrating adherence to God's standard by the example of our own lives. Discipline of the Lord. Secondly, fathers are given their authority for the purpose of bringing their children up in the instruction of the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, we can't force our children to believe the gospel. We can't compel them to turn to the Lord in faith. That's beyond our power. That requires a supernatural work of God upon the heart. But what we can do as fathers is provide them with exposure to the Word of God and the gospel of salvation. So many church-going fathers and parents seem to think that teaching God's Word is something youth pastors and Sunday schools are supposed to do. Sunday school teachers are supposed to do, not them. It's their responsibility, not our responsibility. That's wrong. Fathers in the Lord, God has given us the responsibility to teach His instructions to our children. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's a major part of our responsibility towards our children. When I was a young child, my mother used to read from the Bible Story 10-volume set. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that. You know, the blue books? So many Christian households, they have them. They've been around for decades. I enjoyed it so much when she read from those books. Fascinating stories about all these Bible characters. I love the artwork, but just stare at the pictures. I liked it so much that within a couple years I was just reading through them myself. But it was always my father who led the family in our Saturday Bible studies. And looking back, I believe I learned more about Scripture and the gospel through those years and years and years of weekly Bible studies than I did through attending Sunday school. I didn't always appreciate it. Sometimes I try to run away, get away from those Bible studies, but looking back, I believe I learned much more about the gospel from those Bible studies than I did through formal Sunday school classes. So fathers in the Lord, we've been given authority of our children in order to guide them in the Lord's instruction. Can't just delegate that responsibility to youth pastors and Sunday school teachers. We can't just hand over that responsibility to our wives. We don't have the option of being hands-off with our children's spiritual instruction if we want to carry out our responsibility as fathers faithfully. Consider what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7. Fathers in the Lord. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your, who? To your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, And when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. It's an awesome responsibility the Lord has given to us, fathers, in Christ. And we should take it very seriously. It's the will of our Lord. So now, with what kind of attitude should we bring up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? To answer that question, we need to understand how our Heavenly Father deals with us. And the clearest manifestation of our Heavenly Father is seen where? In the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. We're taught back in chapter 1 of this epistle, in verse 15, if you think back that far, it was way back. Last year, we read there that Jesus is who? He is the image of the invisible God. Christ Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. As one commentator puts it so well, there's an exact correspondence between what we see in Him and what is true of God. And that's why Jesus declared to His disciples in John 14:9, whoever has seen Me has seen the Father. In Hebrews 1, we read that Christ Jesus is the exact imprint of God's nature. Or as we read concerning the Son in John 1, verse 18, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, that's referring to God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, He has made Him known. Who has made Him known? He, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has made God known. Do we want to know our Heavenly Father with the greatest clarity possible here on this earth? Look to the Son. He has made Him known. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Him as He's revealed in our Bibles, and we will see in Him the glory of the Father. Was our Lord Jesus rough with His disciples? As so many fathers tend to be so rough with their children. Was He harsh with them? Was He overbearing? Was He irritable? Was He loud and pushy and aggressive with His children? With His disciples, as so many fathers are with their children? No. Though He was God in the flesh, we see in the Gospels that our Lord was meek towards His disciples. He was patient. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and yet He treats the members of His body the same way today as we are His disciples. Our Lord is not irritable towards us. He's not impatient in His dealings with us. He deals with us patiently in His reproof and correction. Our Lord bears with us in the weakness of our faith. Although as believers we've been granted judicial forgiveness, which if you remember from a couple months ago means the full remission of all our sins the moment we turn to Him in faith. It's granted to us once and for all when we're converted to Christ. Yet we need his relational forgiveness daily, as the Lord's Prayer teaches us. And Christ our Lord responds to our daily confession and repentance with his forgiveness. So we have some idea as to what kind of attitude we are to take towards our own children when we look to Christ. And as the gospel promises, as believers, Christ dwells in us by his Spirit, giving us power to grow in his likeness. So we were taught earlier in this chapter, in verse 12 to 14, to put on Christ's character. Let's go back and read over that. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So fathers in the Lord, we know how to bring up our children, what kind of attitude we should take. How do we bring up our children after the character of our Lord Jesus Christ? Bring up our children in discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring up our children after the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let them see in us the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. The sweetness of Christ should permeate our fatherhood, Christian fathers. Even when we see our children acting up and have to intervene and discipline, even then, we should exhibit the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should never be cruel, never be harsh, never fly off the handle. We must be firm, yet gentle. We can show our displeasure. We can show our grief. We can even show our anger, but not rage, not vindictiveness. Our Lord doesn't discipline us that way. What right do we have to discipline our children that way? What do we think of when we think of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the old Puritan Richard Sibbes reminds us when he writes, when we think of Joseph, Daniel, John the Evangelist, we frame conceptions of them with delight as of mild and sweet persons. Much more when we think of Christ, we should conceive of him as a mirror of all meekness. If the sweetness of all flowers were in one, how sweet must that flower be? In Christ, all perfections of mercy and love meet. How great then must that mercy be that lodges in so gracious a heart? Whatever tenderness is scattered in husband, father, brother, head, all is but a beam from him. It is in him, in the most eminent manner. We are weak, but we are his. We are deformed, but yet carry his image upon us. He sees his own nature in us. We are diseased, but yet his members. Whoever neglected his own members because they were sick or weak, none ever hated his own flesh. Can the head forget the members? Can Christ forget himself? As our Lord deals with us as members of his body, fathers in the Lord, let us strive to deal with our own children in the same way. Let our children see the image of our Lord in us as we bring them up and lead them for their good, for their prospering, for their well-being. Let's pray. Holy Father, insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in keeping with your word and is the product of your Holy Spirit's anointing, we pray that we in whom your Holy Spirit dwells, who are converted onto the faith in Christ Jesus, who believe the gospel of the Son, who possess eternal life, will listen and be built up and be transformed by your truth, as you have revealed it to us in your word. We know as fathers in the Lord now what your will is for us in regard to how we raise our children. Lord, Father, we pray for strength that out of obedience to the will of our King, Jesus Christ, that we would endeavor with all spiritual effort to raise our children in this way, because you love children. And so we pray, Lord God, that we would love our children as we raise them and nourish them and bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.